Please open in your Bibles to the book of St. John. Two little boys were going through the cafeteria line. Apparently, an elderly woman, no joy. At the beginning of the line, there was a box of apples. She wrote a note next to the apples that said, "Take only one. God is watching." Two little boys went through the line. At the end of the line, there was another box of cookies. One said to his friend, "Take all the cookies you want. God's not watching. He's watching the apples." St. John chapter 5 and verse 39, passage we have mentioned lately. Jesus speaking said, "Search the scriptures," John 5, 39. "Search the scriptures." You know how that had to be on the surface rather insulting to the people that he's talking to? They were people that did search the scriptures. And to say, "Search the scriptures," what do you mean, "search the scriptures"? But Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." You don't get eternal life from knowing your Bible. You get eternal life from going to the one whom the Bible speaks of, and that is Jesus Christ. So the point is, let us search the scriptures for the very purpose that we might discover Jesus and ultimately come to him. When we see him in the Old Testament, may we learn of him. As he said in Matthew 10, 28, Jesus said on another occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the book of Acts, we find an expression that the early church had. It says, "We would see Jesus." We want to see Jesus. How? How are you going to see Jesus? He's gone. By the Holy Spirit. By searching the scriptures, we find Christ. By the testimonies of others who are walking epistles, read and known of men. Oral Roberts had a sermon that he entitled "The Fourth Man." In that sermon, he takes the Bible, every book in the Bible, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st. He went through the whole Bible. And in each book, he found Christ in one way or another. And he preached the sermon going through the whole Bible. I copied that idea, but I found Christ in other ways that he had not mentioned. Not that, in other words, Jesus is more than just one particular type or shadow in each book in the Old Testament. And yet after the resurrection, Jesus, who invited people to come to him, it is interesting that he hid himself at times and revealed himself in unusual ways. I've said that many of the appearances, he seemed to have a different appearance than he had earlier. I have a question for you. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, have a hard time making up your mind what you're going to order when you're at a restaurant? I see men saying, lift your hand. Especially if you're at a new restaurant and you're not familiar with the menu. You think that's difficult. I ask myself that question, what part of the menu am I going to deliver every time I preach or minister? Because I'm feeding the flock. So how do I decide what food to deliver? You think it's difficult to pick what to eat. Try being the spiritual chef on what you're going to. Speaking of chef, I'm so proud of myself. I've been learning to cook. My wife, she works, so I've said, she's too tired to fix food when she comes home. So I've learned how to fix fried chicken. I've learned how to make mashed potatoes. I've learned how to make lamb and rice. I've learned how to cook yams. And I've learned you can't heat up your shoes if they got wet in the microwave. Don't ask. I knew better. I knew better. But I thought 10 seconds would not hurt it. No, there's shoes on the curb ready to go that are burnt. I've learned to fix wings and livers. That's what my wife likes, and the fried chicken. But my job is, as always, I don't determine what I feed you. I don't have that luxury. Because I really ask the Holy Spirit to lead me on what I'm going to minister for your spiritual appetite. Just as Jesus said, whenever he spoke, he said, I don't come up with what I say. Everything I do and everything I say, I hear from my Father. He succeeded. I only say and do that which I hear my Father. But let me, having said all that, tell you how this spiritual food came about, this message or sermon or however you care to categorize it. Kelly and my daughter lives in Arizona, and her husband Aaron and the child Brocky, they went camping. And so she will send us pictures of while they're camping. And she sent one that just warmed my heart, and it would yours too. She says, look what I got to wake up to. And there was Brocky. He's four, isn't he? Four and a half. Brocky loves going to sleep with his forehead touching. He doesn't sleep with them at home, but when they're camping, because of the situation, he gets to sleep with mom and dad. And he loves putting his forehead against mama's forehead. So she woke up with him still sleeping, with a smile of contentment on his face, with his forehead touching mama's forehead. She said, normally he loves to put his arm around my neck. He does when he goes to sleep, but through the night, it somehow gets removed. And I see that, and like any of us, I'm realizing Brocky just wants to be close to Mama, as it is so naturally given to us. He just wants to be close. He's getting as close as he can. So he does what he can to get close. Can you imagine with me, please, this morning, Mary, the mother of our Lord, as the Holy Spirit and an angel came to her and let her know that she is going to be the mother of God, and that the shadow of the Almighty will come over her, and she in her womb will have the seed of the Father placed in her womb. That's getting pretty close, isn't it? And the virgin story is much more than a Christmas story. You say, Pastor, I thought it was Independence Day and you're preaching on Christmas. When you're a Christian, every day is a holiday. How's that for a cop out? But the virgin story is much more than a Christmas story. It's a picture of how close God or Christ will come to you. The first stop of his itinerary is a womb. Where will God go to touch the world? Look deep in the womb of Mary for the answer. Better still, look deep inside yourself, because what he did for Mary, he offers to you. Because Jesus offers an invitation to every one of us. That is this: if you will let me, I will move in and come inside you. There is one word I want us to pay attention to this morning, and that word is two letters. The word is in, I-N. If you'll just go with me for a moment, I want us to follow this thought. I've mentioned to you I've been in St. John 14, 15, 16, 17 the last 4 or 5 years. But I want you to see how Jesus emphasizes this word in these his last deep talk before he went to the cross, was with his disciples. But in St. John chapter, starting at 14, I want us to notice how he emphasizes this word in, which describes the relationship he has with his Father and the Father has with the Son, and how he desires to have a relationship with you. In St. John chapter 14, we'll begin there. I want you to notice in verse 2, excuse me, I got behind myself. In verse 10, Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am," here it is, "I'm in the Father, and the Father, he's in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father, he's in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake." Verse 14. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be," there it is, "in you." Verse 20, "At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the devil, the prince of this world, cometh, and he's nothing in me. You know why the devil wasn't in him? Because the Father was in him. Go to chapter 15. Look at verse 2. Following this thought process of the word in. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bringeth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Emphasis being in him. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Emphasis in. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. Verse 7, if ye abide in me. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I keep my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth, that ye should go, and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's go to chapter 16. And I'm just going to, I want you to notice verse 33 in chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Chapter 17, look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, I in them. You're the them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And then, the very last thought he has before he now goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Aren't you glad to know he's in you? He's not just in your womb. He's in you. In fact, Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus was in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Colossians 1:27, Paul just drives this home in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And perhaps one of the sweetest invitations that Jesus gave and is still giving even to this day is found in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Christ said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and he with me." So Christ, he grew in Mary until he had to come out. You know, Christ will dwell in you until he has to come out. I don't mean in leaving you, because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he will come out in your speech. He'll come out in your actions. He'll come out in your decisions. Every place you live will be a Bethlehem. And every day you live will be a Christmas. And you, like Mary, will deliver Christ unto the world. Christ in us. Have we explored the depths of the meaning of that? The truth is, every one of you that know Jesus are a modern day Mary. Even more so, he was a fetus in her, but he's a force in you. And he will do what you cannot do by yourself, but you can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, because he's in you. If you find yourself unable to do what you want to do, remember there is someone that can help you do it, because he's in you. So, let me wrap this up. Stop worrying. He lives within you to help you. Maybe you're here and you can't forgive that jerk, or forget the past, or forsake your bad habit. Christ can. He lives within you. Always remember that. He can do what you can't do. That's why he's in you. And Paul knew this. And in Colossians 1:29, he says, "To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." He's working in you mightily. And like Mary, you and I are indwelt by Christ. You find that hard to believe? How much more did Mary find it hard to believe that in her womb was God? I don't think Mary, when she went to high school, Pastor, the Bible doesn't say he went to high school. I know. Work with me. But I don't think that when she did go to high school, it was said of her that she aspired to be the mother of God. That was a good place for an amen right there. I'm sure no one was more surprised of the miracle of what was happening than Mary herself. In fact, no one was more passive than her. God did everything. And the fact, the last time I checked the record, Mary didn't volunteer to help. "Can I be your mother? Can I be your mother?" I don't see her growing up and someone asking her, "Mary, what are you doing?" "I'm practicing to be the mother of God." Not a bit. Instead, when the Lord made it known what he was going to do with her, Mary said this in Luke 1:38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." Isn't that a great prayer? "Lord, have your will in my life. Have your way." If she is our measure, God seems less interested in talent and more interested in trust. He wants your trust more than he does your talent. If we resist and we try to bail out because we think, "I'm too bad. God can't use me or accept me. I just know." Or if you think you're too busy, you miss out on the reason you were placed here on this earth. You know why you were placed on this earth? That you might know him and he might dwell in you. You see, in the book of Genesis, Moses got to see the beginning of the world. But in the book of St. John, he got to see the beginning more than the beginning. There was no the beginning. In the beginning was God. He got to see eternity. And so, if we resist him because we think we're too bad or too busy, you're going to miss out on the reason why you were placed here. But to be so full of him, so you can say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me." Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a wonderful thing to feast on. So on the 4th of July, don't let the firecracker be outside. Don't put a firecracker inside. That's not what I'm saying. But let the fire of God be within you. It's not something outside. He is inside of you. In him we live and move and have our being. I have my purpose. I have fulfillment. He's everything. Turn to your person. I know when I first came, I promised you, my wife said, don't be one of those kind of preachers that says, turn to your neighbor and say this. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's in me. Because he is. He's in you. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Would you stand? Does he live in you? Pastor, how do I get him to live in me? By asking him. Does Jesus live inside you? He lives there by faith. And I just don't mean an intellectual concept. I mean an overdriving conviction. He lives in me. When you leave here, I want you to leave with the assurance, he's in me. Can you imagine Mary on the day of Pentecost? I've often thought of this. They're told to go tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Mary earlier had Jesus in her womb, and then he eventually came out. But on that day, the Holy Spirit came to produce Christ. And this time, he came in her again. But not in her womb. In every part of her. And I can almost see Mary and Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's back. That was bad. That was really bad. But don't think about that. Think about he's in me. And he's in the person next to you that loves Christ. He's in your wife. He's in your husband. Know that he's in. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. If there be anyone here that's doubting him being in them, but you would say, Pastor, my life has really been troubled lately, and I could sure use some assurance that he's with me and in me. Would you pray for me? Would you, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but you, if you're here and you'd say, I could sure use some assurance that he's in me, would you raise your hand? Because he loves you. And he stands at the door and knock, and if any man will open, he will come and sup with him. So Lord, be with your people. May they leave with the assurance and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. He's in me, and I'm in him. And may I celebrate that on this 4th of July. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I encourage you to come and find a place to pray. Maybe kneel where you're at and just reach down inside and say, I'm so glad you're there, Lord. I'm so glad you're there. Would you? Let's look to the Lord this morning, please. Still here, I feel impressed. Could all of us come down and stand in front here? Would you please come, all of us? I just want to pray that God will let His Holy Spirit be real to you, that you can know He's with you and in you. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I invite you to form Christ in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, would you all here release within your heart faith, and let's just worship Him. Father, we worship you and we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus. I pray your Holy Spirit to come and manifest yourself to everyone here. May they know in their heart you're there. And we yield ourselves to you. And we acknowledge we need you. You're the bread of life. And oh, how I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you, I need you, I need you, Lord. Lord, let grace come upon your people. Let them sense your Holy Spirit and lift them up. And so minister to them. Now would you take a hold of the hand of the person next to you and let's just pray. And I want you to acknowledge Jesus in the person next to you. Lord Jesus, we are one body. And that there be no schism in the body. We recognize the need of each person. Lord, I bless the Jesus in the person next to me. I bless the Jesus in the person next to me and say, God bless you. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit so move and so let Christ come alive in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's just thank Him. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord. I believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to, when you leave here, I want you to leave here with faith and an inward strength. He's in me. It's not I that liveth. It's Christ that lives within me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't go blowing off your fingers with firecrackers today. But have a good week, would you? God bless you.